This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Really?
Yes. It's fall. I love fall.
Oh, yes.
It's winter that I don't particularly like. Fall is great. I'm fine.
Yes. Oh, and this is the time of year where people have like a bonfire or, you know, something like that. They'll have, and you can, when there's something about smelling a campfire in the fall crisp air that's different about smelling one in the heat of the summertime. It's magic.
I know it's magic. Now, where do you think we should have the bonfire at?
Your house. We'll all be over this afternoon at 4.
Oh, we're going to have it here. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to see this bonfire with the llamas.
Yeah. Oh, they would love it.
They probably would. They'd come up and check it. I guarantee that.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd love it. They're like, what's that heat source? Let's go over there and see.
Yeah. I mean, they're curious about everything in life, so they probably would. I wasn't thinking of exactly bonfires. I was just thinking about, you know, the fall where we decorate, you know, you see a lot of decorations. Hmm. You see all the pumpkins. We've been carving pumpkins.
Oh, yes.
And we've carved a lot of pumpkins. We've done, put candles in them. We've done all kinds of things.
Because you have accidental pumpkin farm now.
And we do. And then we've got our little bales of hay. They're small. And, you know, we've decorated our little people with those. So we've had a lot of fun already for fall. And we took the children. We went to a corn maze. We did that.
Ooh.
We've done all kinds of things for fall.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. And you've got to be creative right now.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to do things where there's not 100 people or 200 people there.
Exactly.
And the maze being outside, it's pretty safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure they control, like, you know, who's going in and, you know, the number of people. I'm sure it's not mobbed with, you know, hundreds of people at the same time. I'm sure they kind of space it out.
Oh, they do. They even space your cars out.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Wow.
I mean, you know, a car, you wouldn't think about them spacing a car.
Yeah.
6 foot or 10 foot apart because you know, you're outside in your own car.
Yeah. Wow.
But, yes, but anyway, there's a lot of fun things in fall. What I like is it might be sweater weather in the morning, but then it's going to warm up and get to 65 or 70.
Yes.
You know, we had that 1 week that was so cold, 35 every morning. And didn't get but to 50, but now it's doing better, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's a nice. You can almost see a couple of different seasons just in one day. Nice and crisp in the morning.
You really can.
Yeah.
A little cold in the morning, but good in the afternoon, and that's what I like.
It's a lot of people's favorite season, and then obviously you've got, you know, Christmas movies that are already on TV, and then before you know it, we'll have, you know, Thanksgiving that'll be done, and then we'll get hit with Christmas, and then it's New Year's, and then this is the time where time just seems to speed up through the holidays.
It does, and once the holiday season starts, it's like a snowball. It just keeps getting faster and faster.
Yes.
This year, we don't know what'll happen at Thanksgiving. A lot of people are not going to have Thanksgiving together because they're so worried about the virus. I know my family, as far as we know, has been so very, very careful. I think we can eat together.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. But we're not going out. You know, we're not going to go to the country club like we always have. because there'd be a lot of people there. I don't even know if the country club is serving. They don't even know about that.
Yeah. Some people I'm starting to see, you know, things come on, you know, TV and stuff for, you know, hey, come get your Thanksgiving feast to go, curbside pickup and all that. But as far as serving in the place, I'm not seeing a whole lot of them.
No, I don't think you will, because they're not allowed to have large crowds.
Yeah.
And the simplest way to do it is just to order your turkey and make the rest of it.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I know how you are about making Thanksgiving. It's there's a reason you've gone to the club for several years. So now you're going to have to cook something.
I know. We're back to doing the whole deal. Oh, my gosh.
The cleanup and everything. The fine china.
I know. Oh, my gosh. And instead of using the good china, we could use something that could be thrown in the dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I've seen lots of commercials on TV also for paper plates, the good ones.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? You've got your table set. You've got the good silver out, and then there's the paper plate.
And there's your paper plates.
Well, that would turn everybody around, wouldn't it?
It would be fantastic.
It'd be so funny. People would be laughing for months after that deal.
Yes.
Oh, me.
Well, whatever you do, I hope it is safe. I know we're still a few weeks away, but I hope it is safe.
Yes, we're going to try to stay safe. I mean, we've managed to make it this far. If we can just make it through this, and then go back to normal. You know, when we get back to normal, how long do you think it will take for people to realize they're free again?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay. Oh, my gosh. I mean, when we can just go to a restaurant, sit down and actually eat and without a mask?
Yeah, it's probably going to feel a little bit weird. You know, you go to a restaurant and it's just like, should we be here? This is really strange because we've gotten so used to doing things differently now. It's like when we go back to normal, what's it going to be like? I don't know.
Well, and even our little schools that the kids go to, remember, we can take them to the door. We're not even allowed to go in.
Really?
You cannot go into the school. And the little children are tested every morning. They check their thermometer, everything before you go in.
Really?
Oh, heck yeah.
Good.
So we like that. I like that. And then the upper grades all have their masks on during the day.
Good. Good.
So far, they've kept them safe. It's not like at our normal schools, your normal high school and junior high. Those kids are all mixing it together. That's how they're all getting that virus.
Oh, yeah.
They're not wearing their mask like they ought to, and they're not staying away from each other. Kids, teenagers, love to be together.
Yeah.
They congregate. That's how they come down with that virus all the time.
Yeah. Groups and clusters of friends just hanging out and stuff.
Yeah, they do, and they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they won't wear their mask like they ought to.
Yeah.
But anyway, other than that, it's a wonderful time of year. We're all alive, and we're fairly healthy. So I think that's a blessing right there.
Fairly healthy. Speak for yourself.
I say that's fairly healthy. We're good to go, in other words. We're good to go.
Well, good. It's a happy outlook from Faye Bagby. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
You haven't been there. You haven't been out in months. You haven't gone to stores
no.
and things.
That's right. That's why I don't say anything, because I don't know how they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm scared to even say the word. Oh, my gosh.
Well, geez. Let's hope at some point you can get back out and go back to stores and things like that. Are you still ordering everything online?
I'm still ordering everything online. It's either Amazon or it's Lowe's or, you know, Home Depot, you know, whatever it is. I have not been to a grocery store since March.
Really?
No. I order everything. And it was tough for a while because they'd say, everything I ordered, no, we don't have it. No, we don't have that. No, you can't have that.
You know.
And then I found a place. It's called Lysol Direct.
Really?
And I have finally been able to get Lysol spray and Lysol wipes. You just go to Lysol Direct and order anything you need.
LysolDirect.com. I'm writing this down right
now. Yes. And I've placed two orders with them. First, I got four cans of Lysol, the smaller ones, and all those wipes. And then they had a little sale on, so I got a little bit more. And I'm good to go now. I'm good for 2 months.
Wait a minute.
I've got Lysol plenty, and I'm not having to worry about that because I couldn't get it at the store. Every time I'd say Lysol spray, they'd say, no, we're out of stock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to find these things.
Yeah. So now I've got it.
Well, so now that you've told everybody, they're going to be out of stock. So I hope you've...
That's right. Everybody's going to go to Lysol Direct. And 3 days, they'll be sold out.
Yeah. Thanks to Faye Bagby. You're going to go on the blacklist. You're like be banned from the site now.
That's right. I will be banned because I told too many people at one time.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
But, you know, nobody can get all this. So I accidentally found it.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I'm surprised that hasn't caught on yet until now.
Well, I didn't even know it was there, and I just accidentally found it because everybody was complaining that we didn't have Lysol spray. We didn't have Lysol wipes to clean with, you know.
I'm a little bit shocked that they let you get four cans of Lysol and wipes and all that. I'm surprised they don't have, like, a limit on those things. Or maybe.
Well, I don't know if they had a limit, but I got the four smaller cans. Like 3 dozen watts, and then on the second order I got 160 watts and the bigger cans, two of the bigger cans.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I've got all kinds of Lysol and all kinds of wipes. I've got over 160 wipes now.
Wow. Well, we're all coming over to your house to get Lysol and Lysol wipes.
There you go. Everybody will be saying, oh, it's so nice to see. May I have one of those?
Yeah. And now after your shopping spree, I'm sure they've got limits on everything. Thank you so much.
They probably do. And you know, these were $9 and $13.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, and I don't know what we had been spending, but I was glad to get them and thankful for it.
I've seen a lot of places start charging an arm and a leg, doing a little bit of price gouging for stuff like that. I'm surprised.
I saw some Lysol this week, $29
yep.
for a can.
Yeah, for one can.
One can.
Jeez.
But if you, and Lysol Direct has sales every few days. And when they have that little sale, you just say, you get it.
You don't wait. You don't hem-haw. You just, when
no.
it pops up, you go get it.
And you get it right away.
Really? They're fast with their shipping?
I think, they shipped it, I think, to UPS, and I think I got them in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very quick. And I didn't know them, and I was a little worried, but I did it, and it came right away. They gave me a tracking number and everything.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah. So
cool.
It's a good site. You can do good by going to that site and ordering your stuff instead of doing it out.
Have you noticed that other stores are starting to get on Instacart as well? I've seen things like, I think it was Sephora about a week or so ago, maybe a week and a half ago, they jumped on Instacart. It seems like a lot of non-food places are starting to get on Instacart. They're making the migration because they realize, hey, you know, the holidays are coming up, and if people have, you know, an option of going to Amazon or nothing, they now are getting on Instacart, so you can order your stuff, and it's there, you know, either the next day or within like 3 or 4 hours or, you know, whatever it is. But non-food places are getting on Instacart now.
Well, now, see, I love that. Because Instacart, that's who I use with Kroger, and they delivered, you know, that day.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you could use Instacart for anything besides food, but that's a great idea because nobody's going to go to the store anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no use to go to the store. And you can see the pretty pictures, as I always say.
Yes, you can do a little online shopping.
That's right. You just look at the picture, decide what you want, and have it delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if we'll ever go back to just going to the store and spending 5 hours. You know, I think that's out.
You're probably right. And the sad thing is this is the time of year, because we were just talking about this the other day. We used to love with the holidays to just go to, you know, the mall or some, you know, department store or something, and you see all the perfumes and all the Christmas jewelry, and, you know, there's the music is playing, and for some reason they have Christmas scents that they pump through the ventilator, the vent systems, and it's just like a whole experience, and, you know, just kind of, oh, so-and-so would like this, and oh, so-and-so would like that. Those days are done. It's going to be very different.
And then the gallery in Dallas has the ice skating. You know, you can go and watch the ice skating while you shop.
Yes.
Like you said, you can go to the big, huge malls. People come to Dallas and Houston, you know, for all this big shopping experience. And I think that's out. I don't think people are going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and people used to love to go and spend an afternoon at the mall. They would go sit down and watch the people go by. Can you remember doing that?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Just watching people go by, which is a fun deal.
Yes.
And having lunch there, I used to love to go in, to the places that had lunch and having a little lunch, going back, doing a little more shopping. Then you get your shopping bags and you go home.
Yeah.
And I think all that's gone. I think it's out.
I know it. It's a shame, you know. Going and strolling through the stores at the holidays used to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, and just making your wish list in your head of what all you want to give this person and that person. And like you were talking about the perfume, they do. They spray the stores with perfume to make it really, really smell good.
And it's fun. I fall for it every time, but it is fun. Or used to
be. That's right. And you think, man, you know, I should get my wife that, or I should get, you know, my aunt this or mother. You know, you think about all those things.
Yes, yes.
And this year, I think whatever you see online is what you're going to buy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm sure probably between now and the official holiday season, I'm probably sure more stores are going to get on Instacart. I think it was Sephora that I saw. Somebody else that was non-food got on there as well. And so, you know, it looks like, you know, there's a whole new trend, and they're really, really getting ready for the holidays this year. And if it works, and they find out that they can have, you know, great sales online without the overhead of brick-and-mortar stores, I think there's going to be a total shift in business that's going to go far beyond retail.
Well, and you know that some of the big mall operators have declared bankruptcy this week.
Yeah.
Because everybody's moving out of those big box stores. And I think, like you said, you don't need those huge stores anymore. All you need is a way to do it on the internet. You don't need those big stores.
Yeah.
And the mall operators are finding out that those big stores can't pay the rent.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and if they declare bankruptcy, they just walk your deal and they're not going to pay you anyway.
Yeah. I mean, malls were already starting to go down. You know, you could easily go through any mall and there would be, you know, some empty stores and there would be just nothing in there. So people have been migrating slowly over the last several years anyway. But now it just seems like it's a whole new game. And, you know, the whole thing has been redone. People used to love to go to the store, see things, touch things, feel things, you know, have that interaction with products and merchandise, but now we're all getting used to just online, and it's like it'll just be here or maybe.
Yeah, we don't need to touch it and feel it anymore. We just say, that looks great. That's what I'll give. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And you just do it. Remember, you can always return it if it's the wrong size, the wrong color. Everybody has good return policies.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you plan ahead and leave a little bit of room for, you know, in case you do have to return and reorder something else.
That's exactly right. So you should, I think you're saying we should start maybe in November getting all that done.
Dude, I've already seen Black Friday specials on, you know, commercials for Black Friday specials. They've already started in some places.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to do it early, sounds like.
Yeah, they're getting ready. They know that, hey, this is going to be a little bit longer, you know, now without, you know, and I wonder what is going to happen on Black Friday, because, you know, I'm sure that no longer are the days of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and standing in line with hundreds of other people to rush into a store and throw as much as you can in the buggy. Those days are probably gone, so they're...
Oh, yeah, because you can't all of you go to the store because they won't let you in.
Yeah, yeah. So this year's going to be very different than last year.
I think this will be the most different year of our life for everything.
It really has. What are you seeing as far as like business goes, as far as, you know, portfolios go, as far as wealth management? What are you seeing?
Well, I think that our business is steady, like it's always been. We don't have the ups and downs, thank goodness. We haven't had any days that our portfolios went down. I'm thankful for that. And, of course, I don't know what's going to happen in the stock market between now and the end of the year. You know, some days the stock goes down real far, but then the next day it may came way up. So, you know, I don't know what to think about that. I know ours is just steady, steady growth. It can't ever go down. You always know what you're going to make, and this makes a difference on everybody's portfolio.
Yeah. I talked to a guy this past Wednesday. He was saying that last week when the market dropped, 953?
Yes.
He's like, man, I got wiped out. I lost, you know, tons of money. And then he's like, and then it came back. And he said, but, man, I'm so nervous. This is like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I mean, people are getting to that point where it's just like the roller coaster is bigger and bigger. And people, I think, at least if other people are thinking like this guy, you know, it's just like, when is the down going to stay down, not get that recovery, and then we're all in a whole lot of trouble?
That's right. And it can happen. And it depends how strong your stomach is. You know, how much of this can you take with up and down? If something does happen, and a lot of them are saying that before the end of the year, it's going to be a bad, bad situation. I don't know if they're right or not. I know that I'm thankful that ours is just steady, and that when you do it, you know, it's a life insurance policy and you will get paid. I love that part. We know how much we're going to make in advance. We know how they're going to get paid. We know it's a good life insurance company, and that's all we have to worry about, you know, is when you're going to get paid. You know you're going to get your interest. You know you'll get your principal back, and that's something you can't get anywhere else.
So are you essentially, not literally, but, you know, figuratively, when these people talk about, oh, man, I'm so scared of the stock market, and people predict these weird things, are you almost kind of like sitting back in a comfort zone, like laughing, you know, to yourself, saying, I don't have to worry about any of this. I'm good to go. I'm Joe Cool.
I'm always so thankful that we don't have to worry about that. I don't think my stomach could take it if we had the up and down every day of our life. Because we're stressed enough just getting policies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's our only problem, just getting policies, getting everybody in it. So once we get the policies, we know how it's going to act. We know that the people who give us the life expectancies, they're good at it. You know, they've been doing this 30 years. So we know they've gotten better over the years. We know what to expect on our life expectancies, and we know they'll get paid. It's just a matter of exactly when. And, of course, we've had, we're up to $17 million now for the year in return of money to clients, and that's a lot of money.
That's huge. Man, that's
it big. Is. And I can remember early in the year when it was at $9 million.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, you know, now we're at 17. So we've had lots and lots of policies mature. And most of them are in now. I think we may have a couple that we're still waiting on, but most of the money has come in.
Do you see any kind of change in maybe approach to investing? Whereas, you know, maybe like a year ago at this time, you know, people were, you know, still in that place where, you know, yeah, I want the security of not having to worry about the stock market up and down. I like the life settlement because it's a slow, steady growth and I can, you know, keep, you know, building my wealth and I can, you know, my money is making money and people are that way in that headspace. Do you see any kind of thing where now people are saying, you know, things are really unstable. We may be, you know, looking at something like possibly having to take an early retirement or, you know, not necessarily all out panic, but not necessarily also from just like, man, let's grow our wealth to more like, you know, there may be something that happens. We should probably look into something a little bit more, conservative, maybe? Is there any kind of shift
at all?
Yes,
I have a lot of people that call and say, you know, at my age, you know, I'm 60 years old. I've just got a few years to retirement, and I need this solidified. I need to know exactly where my portfolio is. And these people have been listening to us for years. The people that come to me say, we've been listening to you for years. You know, they know what we do. They just haven't got around to it. Or there wasn't anything that was pushing our way. But now in the last few months, a lot of this is pushing them our way because they want to be sure they don't lose any money just before retirement. Because that's not a good place to be. And nobody knows for sure. You know, the brokers tell them it's going to go up forever. And that's what they told them in 08. This is going to go up forever. And it didn't work that way, did it?
Oh, gosh,
so
no.
You always have to be prepared. Always remember, only put in the stock market what you can afford to lose.
Yeah.
And if you can afford to lose all of it, it's fine. If you can afford to lose 50%, it's fine. Or if you tell me, I cannot afford to lose one dime at my age, then you need to be talking to us.
Yeah, you need to kind of rein it in and look for things that are a little bit more conservative than the stock market, especially if the predictions that you say that they're, you know, possibly predicting, this could, and I know we talk about trigger events all the time that make people make that change. This could be that trigger event, you know, because they are very, very serious about, hey, this is not just something could happen, maybe sometime, might, shoulda, coulda, woulda. This is like, no. There is like literally signs that are making professionals say we could be in for a situation in the next 8 weeks.
And we don't know. That's the bad thing. If we all had a crystal ball, I could tell you whether you should or should not. But I can't. I always just think about, if it was my money, what I would do. And everybody has to think about that. What their age is, how much they've got invested in the stock market, and what their risk factor is. If they can stand the risk for the whole thing, then that's fine. But if they say, you know, I'm 60 years old, I think I need some protection, then they should put some money with us and see how it works out.
As plain and simple as you can possibly be, because I know you get a lot of people that call up and say, I hear you, you know, like you were saying, I've been listening for several years, but you're getting phone calls now from people that have never called before, and they're saying things like, okay, I don't really understand how it works. So as plain as you can be, what's the biggest difference between the stock market and a life settlement?
The biggest difference is we're investing in a life insurance policy, not a lot of stocks, not in mutual funds, and we're not having to give you a deal saying, you know, you could lose it all tomorrow. And when you invest in the stock market, that's what you sign, saying, you know, I realize that it's 1,000% risk. And when you do this, you're investing in a life insurance policy. And you know that the life insurance policy will pay off when that person passes away, you get paid. And we simply send a certified death certificate to the life insurance company, and they pay. They pay to the bank, and then the bank puts the money in your account. That's as safe as I know how to get.
The value of each policy doesn't change with whatever happens on Wall Street. I'm sure that's very comforting to people.
The face amount of the policy never changes. They never come back to you and say, well, your policy went down today, or we'd like to pay you less. Whatever you signed up for, if it's a $1 million policy, you'll get $1 million back. And remember, we bought that policy at a discount. So your profit is the difference between what we paid for the policy and what the face amount is. That's where your profit is.
So on top of that, you know, and there's so many different layers of this type of investment that are so appealing to so many people. I would imagine probably one of the biggest draws is the fact that, you know, it doesn't change. You don't have to worry about the stock market. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night, check your portfolio. You literally, you're in the policy. When the policy matures, instead of the provider paying the former policyholder, they're paying the investors, right? Basically. Is that how it did I lay
that's
that out?
That's right. In other words, when we buy the policy and we put all of our people in that policy, which, okay, it's a $1 million policy. You may have 100,000 in it. You may have 50,000 in it. Whatever you have, you'll get that back plus your interest. If it's a 16-month policy, you're going to make 16%. If it's 24 months, you'll make 24%. So it depends how many months that policy is. And doesn't matter if it comes in early, you get paid. If it comes in on time, you get paid. If it comes in late, you're going to get paid, but you're going to have some premiums you paid. So everything comes back 100% to you. You're going to get your principal. You're going to get your interest. And now, that's what makes it so profitable.
This is a loaded question, but okay. It's such a big deal. I think it's really important to stress this. When people come in and they want to invest in a policy, the type right. of policy makes all the difference, because I'm sure that people come in and say, geez, you know, if somebody is 60 years old, they're selling their policy, it may not mature for 30, 35 years. So how do I know that I'm not going to have to sit around and wait half another lifetime for this thing to mature?
Because we only buy policies from somebody that's really, really ill. When we buy a policy, most 99% are going to have cancer. There's been a few times we've done something. We did a heart deal, and those people lasted 2 years and passed away. But other than that, almost every policy is a short-term cancer. In other words, the life expectancy is very short because they've been battling cancer maybe for 2 years. Some of them 18 months. But the life expectancy company tells us all the treatment they've had, how bad it is if they're gone to Mexico. On breast cancer, these people oftentimes will go out of the country thinking that they're going to not have to have breast cancer surgery, and that's not true. If you've got breast cancer, you're going to have surgery. And lots of times these people just, oh, well, we'll give you the orange peel deal. We'll do the, you know, all this fancy stuff. But all that does is speed it up, and then when you come back, the doctors say, you know, it's too late. We can't do all these things we could have done.
So many people get desperate looking for that miracle cure. It allows time for the cancer to actually progress at a much more aggressive rate.
It does, and it starts spreading fast. And so that's why we read these LAs, we research it very carefully, everything they tell us. When they tell us what kind of cancer drugs they're on, if they tell us what kind of chemo they've been having, sometimes they're on chemo and radiation. And when people are really, really sick, you know, they may have 18 months. We've bid some this week that were 16 months.
Really?
So they don't have much hope. And then we bid a breast cancer 35 months, and I know it's not 35 months. When it's already in your spine and your ribs. Mm. It's already spread two or three places. And they're saying, oh, we're going to give them 35. I'm still going to buy it because I don't believe it's 35 months.
Oh, boy.
And this has happened before. They said it was long, and it wasn't. If it hadn't been metastasized to two or three places, I think, yeah, they might live 36 months. But if it's already spread to three or four places, I don't think it's that long. I think it's 20 months.
You know, and I know that, you know, anybody that has ever had to face a stage four cancer diagnosis, we know the first reaction, and it's usually pretty accurate because we know the numbers. Stage four cancer does not go on, for the most part, for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. We know the historical data. And so, you know, just the fact that, you know, these are the types of policies that you're bidding on helps really not only the investors because of the fast maturities, but that means that they reinvest in other policies. It also gives the policyholder that's trying to sell the policy the cash that they need to go ahead and do these treatments. And sometimes I would imagine they don't do treatments because they don't have, you know, the cash, and the fastest way to get it is to sell their policy, right? So it kind of helps.
That's
everybody.
Right. And, you know, we're bidding on a policy right now that the guy, you know, he thought he could get a lot more than he can. And he came back and said, you know, I'm going to get all this money. I said, let me tell you something. Those people are not going to give you the kind of money you're talking about. You're going to have to get real. And now he's in the hospital. Now he wants to finish up us buying his policies.
Oh, boy.
You know, but sometimes it takes them going back to the hospital for them to realize where they're really at on this.
Yeah, and that kind of brings up a good point. You're kind of touching on that profit window. It's like people, I'm sure, would be asking themselves, if they've never done this before, hey, how can I possibly make money on a life insurance policy? Where's the profit margin? Where does that come in?
Well, let's say it's a $1 million policy. we're probably paying $700,000 for it or $750,000. So there's the profit is between what we paid and what the face amount is.
Okay. So
we're not buying it for face amount. If we did, we would never make a dime, and neither would the clients.
Yeah, there's no point in doing that.
No, there would not be a point.
Kind of like those people that buy houses, and they'll say, we'll buy junk houses, and they may pay you, you know, 50 or 60% of the value, 50 cents on the dollar, say, and then, you know that going in with these types of things. But the point is if somebody is selling a $1 million policy, that money that they do get from you buying their policy does get their treatment going. It does go quite a ways for their treatment, and that's what they're ultimately looking for.
Well, it's costing about $100,000 a month now for cancer treatment because it's so expensive. You know, all the different drugs they're given, all the huge, big hospitals you can go to for this. So, you know, lots of times they're in a hurry and they say, I have to close in 30 days. We want our money within 30 days.
Really?
So, you know, lots of times we have to really rush to do business with. Then there's the others who, you know, we send them their contracts, and they put off signing it for 3 weeks. You know, they just sit there, don't sign, and you go, oh, my gosh. And those people always have a broker. So you call the broker, and you say, your client still hasn't signed the contract. What's their problem? And they'll go out and see them. They'll finally get it signed. But a lot of times, they'll sit there for a couple of weeks.
Are they just lazy, or are they looking for a better deal? What's the
I think up? Sometimes they have in the back of their mind they're still going to get that 100% deal, which that's impossible. Or it's just laziness. They just haven't got around to it.
Wow.
You know, and then we have the people that need the money really bad, and they're honest, you know, to get this thing closed quick. And, of course, you know, everything has to be checked and double-checked before we can give them the money.
You know, and you're on to another big point with how the whole process works. Just because it says stage four cancer at the top doesn't mean you're bidding on every policy. I mean, you're going through these things. I would imagine that there are probably some stage four cancer policies that you don't even bid on. Is that?
That's right. And some of them say it's in remission now, or we can't see any cancer. If they say they can't see it and they're doctors, well, we're certainly not going to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be sure that the cancer is there and that they're telling me what all they're doing to save them.
Yeah. There are other people that will buy all these other policies, even if it's a stage two or a stage one, or if it's, you know, somebody who's not even sick. You know, they're just, you know, maybe they're 70 years old and they want to drive in the RV around the country and do whatever.
I know people that will buy those 90-year-olds. I had a call this week. A guy called me. He said, Faye, a couple of months ago you bought a policy from us, and I've got this policy. It's $6 million. We'll discount it to 50%.
Really?
I said, well, gosh, you've got my attention. It sounds really good. How old is this person? He said, 91.
Oh,
oh my gosh. I said, don't talk to me about a 91-year-old. I've been there and done that.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we thought maybe you'd be interested. I said, not at 91. I don't care if you discount it to 25%.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't matter.
It's not. If they've made it to 91, odds are they're going to make it to 191. They're tough people.
That's exactly right. And those premiums have got to be sky high if you're 91 years old.
Didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Oh, we think of those premiums on every deal we do. We check the premiums. I make them go out 5 years. Check the premiums for 5 years and see what's going to happen.
Wow.
Can it go up in the next 5 years?
Wow. So you really, really are covering all your bases.
We have to, because remember we had those four that did not pass away. They were old, and the premiums are very high.
Mm.
We don't have to be, you know, hit over the head but one time.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to learn that lesson.
No. But one deal, and we learn the hard way, and we take evasive action after that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're going to learn from this. That's never happening again. And to be honest with you, I know we talk about how people in their 90s are tough people. I know a couple of 91-year-olds that are driving around the country in RVs, and they have no business driving an RV anywhere.
They should not be driving, period. And driving a big RV, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
At 91.
Whew.
Wow.
It's a scary
gosh,
thing.
Gosh, I hope I don't meet. Can you tell me what road they're on?
Yeah. I'll map out where. Wherever they're going on every trip, and I'll let you know, okay, between these dates, stay off the road.
That's right. Let me stay off the highway, folks. Oh, my gosh.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's about next Wednesday. It's Veterans Day.
Is it really already?
It is. It's already come up, and you didn't even realize it.
I didn't. No, time's getting away from me.
And you remember what happens on Veterans Day? Why do we celebrate Veterans Day? Because of the armistice that was signed on November the 11th, 1918. It was on the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, remember?
I do.
And this was when we declared an armistice between the Allies and Germany in World War I, known as the Great War, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it became a federal holiday in the United States in 1938.
Really?
Uh-huh. And that was after World War II, the Korean War, all of them. It doesn't matter what war they served in. Veterans Day is for all alive veterans. Remember, Memorial Day was for all the ones that have passed away in battle, and we honored them. But Veterans Day is for all the people that are alive that have served our country so wonderfully.
You know, and I have trouble with which one is which, and so I'm glad you kind of clarified that this is for the living service members. And also another thing that we sometimes ignore, and we shouldn't, is the families of people who have served, because they've gone through just as much as anybody, really, just to
be a support
system.
That's right, the families. Without those families, their men and their sons and brothers could not have went.
Yeah.
So you're right. We should honor all the families of all the soldiers that have served so honorably in our country. And, you know, Woodrow Wilson is president who first proclaimed November the 11th as Armistice Day.
Really? Wilson?
And that was in 1919, 1 year later. And as you know, November the 11th, 1921, there was an unidentified American soldier killed in the war, and he was buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And so every year they put a wreath on the unknown soldier also, and that was, you know, every year to honor that unknown soldier. And then, of course, an unidentified soldier was laid to rest at Westminster Abbey in London, and one in Paris.
Really? I didn't
know
those.
Of course, yeah. And then, of course, we forget about the red poppies. And the red poppies is a symbol of World War I. And that the beloved poem in Flanders Field by John McCrae. And that's when it first appeared. And then different countries celebrate this a little bit different than we do. In England, it's called Remembrance Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little different than, you know, than our Veterans Day. And then in Canada, it's called Remembrance Sunday. And they do it the second Sunday of November. It's the same wherever it is.
Yeah.
But every Veterans Day, we lay a wreath on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So he is always remembered every year.
Yeah.
In that way.
Huge ceremony. And have you ever been there before and see that the guards that are always there?
I have seen it on television. I hate to say I've never seen it in person.
It is probably one of the most quiet places you'll ever see.
I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
And it's such a sacred place.
It is, yeah. That's for sure.
And when you think of all the things we used to do on Veterans Day, you know, we used to see a lot of veterans. They used to have all the flyovers. We had speeches on Veterans Day. But because of this virus, I don't know of any of these things happening this year.
Yeah, I know the parades, you know, used to be a big thing, and there was lots of, you know, various celebrations and things. I don't know that, you know, any of that's really happening this year. And I hope that doesn't mean that the holiday and the celebration doesn't get lost into just, you know, another random day on a calendar. I hope that doesn't take the specialness out of it.
No, because it's a big thing to every veteran, everybody that's been touched by a veteran, every veteran's family, and all America, you know, appreciates our soldiers so much. And they have given so much and come back mangled and disabled. Going to war for us.
Yeah.
So we should really, really appreciate them. And of course, at the 11th hour, on Wednesday, the 11th, at 11 o'clock, everybody's supposed to have a moment of silence.
Hopefully they will. Hopefully that'll...
Hopefully they will. And whatever they're doing that they're so busy of, they could give a few minutes silence in honor of all of our veterans.
It seems like it's such a small thing to do. I mean, it really, compared to what they've sacrificed and what they've been through, a moment of silence is really, it's nothing in return, you know, relatively speaking. But, you know,
Right. Relatively speaking, it is nothing compared to what they've went through. And, you know, when everybody came back from Vietnam, you know, they were spit on, they were dishonored. It's just hard for me to believe that any of our wars, that our servicemen would have been dishonored.
I know. It's hard to believe. It's, you know, after, you know, going through so much, you know, serving overseas, and then you come back, and then you come to that kind of a reception. I'm sure it's I couldn't even imagine what kind of thoughts, you know, go through, you know, somebody's head through who has been through traumatic situations like that. I couldn't even imagine.
You know, I can't either. And, you know, we appreciate them so much. And so many soldiers went back the second time. Had you thought about that?
Yeah.
They gave, you know, 4 years. They were called back. They went back willingly. And a lot of them made a career of it. And then came back and got hurt really bad at the end.
Yeah.
And so we owe them so much that could never be repaid.
Yeah. Yeah, not only, you know, the physical trauma that many soldiers have been through, but also, you know, it's the memories. It's because people who have served, especially in you know, war and in places of battle, they see things that most people would have a lot of trouble processing. And so it's really so much more words. There's no words, you know, no matter how hard you try to find the words to, you know, to relate to it and say thank you and say, geez, you know, what can we do, you know, to repay you for what you've sacrificed? There's just no comparison on any level.
No, and there's no way you could ever really repay what they've gone through, because in this last wars and last 5 years, you see them come back and they're disabled so horribly, and yet they went willingly. And if they could, they'd probably go back again. They're that kind of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the Wounded Warrior Project. We have all these other projects to help them. And everybody should give to those to help our soldiers who really need it.
Yeah. It's a very, very important holiday.
It is very important that we remember and try to help some veteran,
yeah,
if you possibly can, and tell them thank you for their service and what they've done for us that we couldn't go and do ourselves.
Exactly. And
it's kept us a free country. You realize that?
Oh yeah.
Without them, we probably wouldn't be a free country.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, it's a much bigger scale than what a lot of people realize. You know, until, you know, it's just like, okay, yes, you served, and you know, you went overseas and, you know, did 4 years or sometimes many more. So thank you very much. But what would have happened without that service? It really, really gets very, very large as far as, you know, the scope of how much of a big deal it is that people are so willing to do things and sacrifice so much. It is such a big deal.
It is a big deal to us, and it should be to every American.
Yes. So thank you to all the veterans who have served and their families as well.
Yes, absolutely.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
When people are looking at other investment opportunities, do people come to you and they say, look, Faye, here's the deal. I've already lost a ton of money. Or do they come and say, look, before something happens, I want to take some kind of proactive stance so that I'm not coming to you on the defense. Which I guess, perspective do most people, where are people at right now?
Well, lots of people come and say, Faye, I've lost $100,000 or I've lost $50,000 and I don't want to lose any more. I'd like to move everything over here to you. Or they'll say, you know, it's just my age. I need everything to be solidified. You know, I've just got a few years to retirement. I do not want to be involved in another downturn. And everybody tells me, you know, Faye, I've been involved in 3 downturns. I can't do it again. And that would be me. If I was in the stock market, I'd be saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. I need to know that my money is safe.
Do people ever come in and say, you know, geez, Faye, I'm 60. I'm looking at retirement in a few years. It's probably too late to even start something like this. I probably should have started years and years ago. What do you tell that person? Is it too late?
Usually it's not. I've had people come in and say, Faye, I'm doubling up and doubling up right now to get some money. I've got $150,000. Can you help me? And I'll say, yes, but it's going to take a long time. It's not going to be overnight. And then I've got people come say, Faye, I'm going to retire this year. I want to move everything over to you before I retire.
And so
we do it that way. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. Most everyone has got their money in an IRA. They've got it either in a Roth or a regular IRA. And then a lot of people have a joint account with their wife. If they're in business for themselves, they don't have an IRA. So then they come and say, you know, I would like to do this, a joint account with my wife. And my wife's going to continue to work, but I'm fixing to retire. I have lots of times the men will say, Faye, I'm fixing to retire, but my wife's going to go ahead and work. So we figure it out. We look and see, you know, what they're going to need. And they say, we're going to use my wife's salary to pay the bills, and we're just going to invest the rest. And we do that for them lots of times.
If people are reassessing right now, maybe they weren't planning on it, you know, even a year ago or 6 months ago even, but now all of a sudden they're reassessing the situation, thinking about taking a different route that they hadn't thought about before, what do you tell them? Do you say, okay, look, you know, let's get all in, or, you know, put a little bit in, you know, keep a little bit with the stocks, whatever you're doing now, and then we'll kind of see how it goes and we'll wait. If somebody's completely reassessed and they weren't planning on it, what do you tell them? What do you advise them?
I want them to be comfortable. If they want to start with 100 or 150,000, they can do that. And then if they like us, they can put more in, or they can go all in at one time. It's up to them. Remember, this is their money, and we're going to do their wishes. It's not like in the stock market where they say, you know, we're going to take over and we're going to run the money and we'll see you later. It's not that way.
We'll see you later.
That's right. That's what they say. No, it's not that way. We're going to do what they want. If they want to put a small amount, $100,000, $150,000 in, it's fine. Or they say, Faye, here's $700,000. Let's invest it and get a lot of policies. You can't do this with one policy. You have to have several to make it work. And all my clients can tell you they need several.
Do you find a lot of people come over have already built up their wealth and they're just trying to, you know, I guess, preserve it at this point? Or are people still in the growth phase? Where
both ways. A lot of people have already made their wealth, but they don't want to lose any of it. They want to continue to grow it, but they want to do it safely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, we're recommended every week by people that have already been with us a long time and that are making money.
How does the whole big picture work when it comes to like a strategy for planning for retirement? How long? How many policies? Time frame? How does all this?
Well, I like for them to have 5 or 6 policies going in if they can. Okay. If not, we're going to do 2 to 3. Whatever they have the money for, that's what we'll start with, and we'll roll it over as it matures.
And one thing that people do need to know is that going in, you do have to be accredited, and there are three risks, and all this kind of goes hand in hand. So first of all, what does it mean to be accredited to even think about doing a life settlement?
Okay, and to do a life settlement, you must be accredited. You must make either $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your house. Now, if you're doing annuities, you don't have to be worth this much. And annuities right now are making a lot of money. We had one of our annuities go up 10% this last month.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the annuities went up 10%, which is really good. So annuities are another vehicle for people that are not accredited or accredited. But getting back to the accreditation, as I said, you've got to be worth either $1 million or make $200,000 a year. The government does not want you to come in and do this unless they know you're stable and have the money.
Okay.
They don't want you to get in this and need the money back in 30 days.
Yeah, yeah. It's tied up in a life insurance policy. You can't get it. And that's I guess that's risk number one, isn't it?
That's right. So the risk associated with this is, first, if policy can go over. You have to be sure you can stand it if policy goes over. That's your biggest risk of all things. The second risk is it isn't liquid. You know, once you put your money in the policy, it's not liquid till that policy matures. Once it matures, you can take it out or roll it over, whatever you want to do. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke. It would take you a little longer to get your money. We've never had a life insurance company go broke in Texas. Nationally, it's been years because the premium income is so great, somebody will always buy your policy. They'll buy your company legacy split, okay?
Are there any other risks? Because as we sit here and listen to this, it's like, okay, one, you got to be accredited, so you're in a good place financially to start with. But then the risks, once you are accredited, it seems like the risks aren't really that big of a deal. Is there anything else that we need to know? Because
those are the only risks I know. Your other risk is, I guess, if your wife left you and took half of your IRA. We've had this happen on two or three guys, and they lost half of their IRA. So, yes, that can happen to you. That's a little bit of a risk.
Wow.
Not a lot.
Okay. You've never thrown that out there before.
No, I had never thought about that before.
Well, now you're just making stuff up.
There you go.
All right. So if people are interested, do you recommend that, you know, speaking of, you know, spouse, do you recommend that people kind of go into this hand in hand, you know, together, they're both involved, or one?
It would be nice if they would tell their wife how it works. Used to, we always had the wife come in to make sure she understood it. But I've had two or three guys pass away in 19, and their wives, you know, are now putting that money at risk when the husband would have never done that in a million years. You know, they were making money, they were happy, and the wife says, oh, I think I'll go and put it in the stock market. And I go, oh, my Lord, if he's only alive to tell her.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So if she loses it all, what in the heck is she going to live on?
Do people come to you and say, Faye, advise us, or do they just say, hey, I'm going to do this?
They just say they're going to do it, and you know me. I just don't say a word. I just figure, you know, it's your money. If you lose it, it's just not my fault.
Yeah, but it is not a good idea. I mean, a lot of people get involved in a life settlement to get out of the stock market.
They're
to
getting
go
out,
back.
And their husbands wouldn't be with me if they didn't think it was a great idea. Their husbands were making money. We'd made a lot of money together. And then the wife, some fast-talking dude, comes by and says, oh, we need to put that in the stock market. And the wife is just like a little puppy. They just follow right along and do it.
So people should be aware of the investments of the household, what the standing is like, you know, what kinds of, you know, situations you're in, if you made money, things like that. They should know that ahead of time, because if somebody does, say, unfortunately, God forbid, pass away, you know, the wife can still maintain without missing a beat. Nothing has to happen. I mean, it all just keeps going.
And of course, you know, we should tell our clients that the men that have money with us, be sure you explain this to your wife as to why you're in this investment.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So how do people get started? What's the first step? What happens?
Well, they have to come and see us. They have to talk to us. They have to open an account at Nevada Trust. Their money is always at the bank. It's not with me. We don't touch their money. And then the bank will set them up. We set them up an account with the bank, and they operate out of that account. That's the way it works.
Pretty straightforward. So
it is straightforward.
You see, you're still doing Zoom meetings, I assume, right?
Yes, we are, because there's still a lot of the virus.
Okay. And if, as far as availability, people can call for an appointment this week, yes?
They can. We'll talk to them, try to get them on the right path, and get them to making some money.
Yeah, and that's the most important part, getting to making some money, which is super important, especially if things go the way that some experts say that they might in the next few weeks.
That's
so.
Right. Some of them say it is. We're going to wait and see. You know?
Yeah. All right, Faye, one last time. What's your phone number for people to call and make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.